Hello and welcome to a time when we pause. We pause to think, reflect and consider. A time when we are alone within our minds but connected through our hearts. And that's appropriate because for the next few weeks we're going to return to the theme of compassion. We've explored this theme together a number of times over the years. But I think in these particular times, it is worth returning to it again. Because compassion connects us with the deepest feelings of another. And oftentimes, these are feelings of suffering and disconnection. So today, we're going to explore compassion through three stories. One from the science of anthropology, a Jesus story from the gospel writer Matthew, and a story from Aboriginal people of Canada. Years ago, anthropologist Margaret Mead was asked by a student what she considered to be the first sign of civilization in a culture. The student was expecting me to talk about perhaps fish hooks or clay pots or possibly even grinding stones. But no, Mead said that the first sign of civilization in an ancient culture was a femur, a thigh bone that had been broken and then healed. She explained that in the animal kingdom, if you break your leg, you die. You can't run from danger or get to the river for a drink or hunt for food. You're basically meat for prowling beasts. No animal survives a broken leg long enough for the bone to heal. A broken femur that has healed is evidence that someone has taken time to stay with the one who fell, has bound up the wound, has carried the person to safety and has tended the person through recovery. Helping someone else through a difficult time is where civilization starts, says Margaret Mead. So Margaret is telling us that humankind becomes civilized when we act with compassion towards another. I wonder if she was thinking about the story that Jesus told, a parable that encapsulates not only living with compassion, but also what it means to name ourselves as Christian. I'm sure you can guess the one that I'm thinking about. The Good Samaritan. And parables keep cropping up, don't they, in these times of reflection. And I found something quite interesting this week. It says that the parables of Jesus were designed to disrupt our rational minds. And they disrupt our minds so that we might hear the voice of God in our hearts. So that we might ask with puzzlement in our voices, Jesus, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when were you sick or in prison and we came to you? And then hearing the reply in our hearts, I'm telling you the solemn truth, whenever you did one of these things to somebody who was overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it for me. This is a story that is found in Matthew 25. Well, if parables are meant to disrupt the way we think, then how does our brain function? Neuropsychologist Rick Hansen says this. He says the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones. So basically, those negative thoughts and feelings, they're sticky. We hang on to those. But the positive experiences often just slide on by. In evolution, Mother Nature only cares about passing on genes. And it doesn't really matter how that happens, even if there is suffering along the way. Suffering that can range from subtle worries to intense feelings of sorrow, worthlessness, or anger. The result is basically a brain that is tilted against lasting contentment and fulfillment. But as Rick Hansen says, we don't have to accept this bias. We can choose to tilt towards the good. Those things that Jesus listed. Those things that alleviate suffering, alleviate hunger, thirst, hurt, and loneliness. And these good activities help both ourselves and others. They bring us more happiness and fulfillment, but they also help in a practical way other people. And this is how we are able to practice compassion. So I said at the beginning that I was going to share three stories. Well, here's the third. It's a story from Aboriginal wisdom. Each of us has two wolves in our hearts, the wolf of love and the wolf of hate. And everything depends on which one we choose to feed each day. Love and hate tumble together in every heart like wolf cubs tussling in a cave. And there is no killing the wolf of hate. If we try to do that, we would actually create what we're trying to destroy. But we can watch that wolf of hate very carefully and keep it on a short tether. We can limit our reactions to the snarls of resentment, contempt, prejudice, to insults and self-righteousness that come from its mouth, whilst all the time nourishing the wolf of love and compassion. I would really like to hear your thoughts and comments on some of the things that I say. So I invite you to email me at karen@beachuc.com. And you can see that email address on the Spirit Connect page. And also on that page, you will notice that there's a video by Joyce Rupp. It's about compassion, and I encourage you to listen to Joyce's words of wisdom. So in the meantime, stay well. Stay well in body, mind, and spirit.